Surely thankful for his watchful care. I'm thankful that the Lord, as the song said, that he cares for the rose. He cares, as scripture says, about the birds. And if he cares for the birds, the sparrows, how much more does he care for us? How much more is he interested in us and our needs and in our troubles and in our condition of life? I know that there are some that have tended to look at God as being those who do believe in God. Even some of them say he's like a watchmaker, or he's like one that created it all and he set it in motion, but then he steps back and he's hands off and he has nothing more to do with his creation. I'm thankful to know a God that cares about me. I'm thankful that he's involved in my life. I'm thankful that he guides and governs my life. And as the song says, he lives. I know he lives because he lives in me. I'd like to begin in the first chapter of Luke, and I desire your prayers this morning. Feel a need for them. I'd like to read a little bit of a familiar passage. Maybe you've already read it. We're in a season and a time that we tend to think about this story. It's a prophecy of Zacharias, Luke 1, beginning in the 67th verse. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. He hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, speaking unto John, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." My thought this morning, as the Lord's inspired me with this week, is about the day spring from on high. The prophecy here that Zacharias saw that he had that was inspired of the Holy Ghost. It said that after this period of time where his mouth was shut up and he wasn't able to speak, that he, by instruction of the angel of what the name of Jesus was to be, that as he ordered that to be so and John was born, as they gathered around, that his mouth was opened, it was loosed, and he began to speak as he was moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit as the voice here of God that had planned from the beginning of time. The scripture says from before the foundation of the earth, he was the lamb slain. There was a plan and a provision made from before the foundation of the world that pointed forward all the way to this time. Oh, I can imagine if Brother Leslie was here this morning. He loved prophecy of scripture. He loved to be able to go back into the Old Testament, and you could see as he started looking through the scriptures, he got more and more excited of how it all fit together. And you know, it is a beautiful picture, a beautiful plan of a world that was plunged into darkness, of a world that whenever sin entered, whenever they disobeyed and ate of the fruit and it plunged Adam and Eve into darkness, it caused a separation, and we heard about the death this morning that it caused and plunged this world into darkness. The Lord spoke to the darkness in the beginning in the creation. He said, let there be light. Let there be. He was able to speak the word, and it divided the darkness from the light. And he created light. He is the origin of light. He is light. And the scripture says here of the prophecy of Jesus, whenever the fullness of time was come, the scripture says, whenever God in his perfect timing and his perfect plan looked upon his creation, and he says, this is time. It's been long enough. It's been time. I've been able to bring the world into a place that it's time and it's ready. The fullness of time. By God in his wisdom, in his infinite wisdom and sovereignty, to know when that time was. He said it's time to bring forth one that's able to save us from the hand of all our enemies. I'm so thankful that goes beyond who we declare war with as a nation. Goes beyond the Romans that tried to set up rule over them, and there was political turmoil and upheaval and uprisings and zealots among them that wanted to overturn the government that they were ruled by. And there was coming one that had been prophesied throughout the ages and the time. And we read of the fathers that didn't receive the promise, but they looked for it. They had a bright expectation. They looked for the time. And I've wondered if perhaps every generation, those under the lineage of David, if they wondered, is this my generation? Is it going to come in my time and in the troubles and the turmoils that we're in my time? Is this the time? But the years rolled by. The centuries rolled by. One after another, and as time stretched on before then the centuries preceding Christ's birth, there was a silence. We don't read of much recorded in the way of prophecy or of God openly visiting his people. Oh, but the fullness of time came of a Savior and a Redeemer who would come to deliver us out of the hand of our enemies in this bondage, out of the hand of one who would oppress and hold in the bondage of sin and of darkness. But it says to give knowledge of salvation unto his people through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. You know what the day spring is? Scripture says that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Night represents, well, darkness. But if you've ever noticed in times of affliction, in times of grief, it seems like night's the hardest time. If you're sick and you feel evening coming on and there's almost a sense of dread that darkness is coming and those night hours are so long. Those night hours, especially when you're in pain or you're suffering and you look at the clock and you see it's 2 o'clock in the morning and, 6 more hours till daylight, 5 hours, and then you try to endure a little while longer and you pray and you look at the clock and 15 minutes has gone by, but it seems like it's been half the night that surely I'm almost there. There's an expectation. There's something about the day spring. There's something about being able to look out and you see light starting to come and you see the brightening on the horizon. The day spring. Going from darkness unto light. From darkness that covered the face of the earth, to a light that springs forth and that rises in the sky until the day spring from on high hath visited us. You know, the joy that comes in the morning was heralded by the angels that night. Wasn't that the message that they came bringing? I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. This is the message. It's what we've come to deliver. And the fullness of time is here. The day spring from on high is here to visit you now. The darkness that covered the face of the earth. Spiritual darkness. Spiritual groping. And yes, pagans that don't know the way, that don't know God, that don't know what salvation is, that don't know what holiness and righteousness is. Pagans, and I told the story of the time when I was in India last time, when I went among one of the tribes out in the forest and they had some kind of statue or little place of worshiping and burning sacrifices. And I asked them about it and they said, this is for the rat god that came among us and brought disease one time. So we're trying to worship this rat so that it won't bring disease back to us. That's darkness. The reaches of darkness that have covered man's hearts. But you know, there was another darkness as well that pervaded among those who considered themselves religious. There was a darkness that covered their hearts as well, that they weren't able to see. You know, it's what darkness, it's what blindness does to us. In blindness, there may be light about us. The objects are there before us, but I'm not able to see the object because of the darkness. The condition is upon my heart. It's upon my eyes being blinded that I'm not able to see. Those that were religious of their day, of those that would stand on the street corner and had such a high esteem of themselves. You know, there's scripture says nothing new under the sun. You know, it's the same way still today. Those that have a form of religion or that go through the motions in Christmas times, a time in Easter to go to services, and I go through the obligations of what my faith says. I'll go to my priest and I'll go through the motions and it checks a box, so to speak. It makes me feel like I've done my duty. You know, that's spiritual blindness. That I'm not able to see my spiritual need. I'm not able to have an understanding. Because that's what light is. Spiritual light that Jesus came to bring is to illuminate our understanding. To illuminate our lives. To give me understanding. To shine spiritual light into the darkest recesses of my heart. Of my light. Where I couldn't see. Where I... Bible talks about those that walk in darkness and they stumble at they know not what. I don't know what I'm stumbling at. I don't know what I'm dealing with here. You know, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can really be able to understand and discern the heart of a man? So I'm not able to understand my own ways. We read the scripture in Sunday school this morning there in 1 John. That if any man say he hath not sinned, he deceiveth himself. If any man is in a place that I say, I have no need of God. I have no spiritual wickedness. I have no need of a Savior or a Redeemer. That's really what the Pharisees were saying. I'm not in bondage. I'm free. But they didn't realize Jesus said, you shall know the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It'll make you free. It'll give you freedom. And yet, they didn't see it. Yet, their hearts were blinded to not be able to see. You remember in the Old Testament, whenever the Lord was bringing up the children of Israel out of the bondage of Egypt, and He led them forth into the wilderness by I believe it was a day or two's journey as they got unto the Red Sea. And Pharaoh and his army came along behind to pursue them. And if you'll remember, it said that the presence of the Lord in the form of a cloud came between the army of Pharaoh and the children of Israel. And unto the children of Israel, that cloud on the Israelite side, it was brightness. It was light. It illuminated the night for them. But on the other side of the cloud, it was darkness unto them. Jesus, as a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, He came to be a light. He came to be that day spring from on high. Do you remember what the scripture says? That the light has shined in darkness. He came to shine in darkness. Isn't it wonderful how whenever the day spring comes up, whenever the dawn comes and the sun comes up, the shadows go away. The darkness goes away. The dreariness of night goes away. The scripture talks about, and maybe we'll read here a little bit, the works of darkness that many times accompany the night, that many times work under the cloak of darkness. There's something about the daylight that comes. It gives new perspective and hope, and it warms the earth. You know, the Lord came to do that. But yet the darkness of many people's hearts still comprehended it not. Still weren't able to receive the light that He came to shine unto them. Read in Psalms chapter 36 where that light comes from. 36th chapter of Psalms, the 9th verse. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. He's the only source of light. He's the only source of understanding, of discernment, of being able to find our way spiritually. Whenever the night is upon us, we have artificial lights and things that we can light to shine the way before us. You know, the only true source of spiritual light is in the Lord. The idea of enlightenment that the world says that it hasn't attained. Look to the light that is within you. Look to that inner source of light, that inner source of energy, and open your mind to be enlightened. That's not enlightenment. It's darkness. Mankind and their idea of enlightenment takes themselves right back to the slums of darkness where God tried to deliver us from. The day spring from on high, it says, hath visited us personally to be able to give me understanding of myself and understanding of His ways in thy light. You know, as we go through life, and sometimes maybe Lord, there's some things that I don't understand real well. There's some places that I don't see myself real well. And there's some shadows here. There's some places, you know, the devil loves to work in darkness. The devil can't abide in the light. He hates the light. He is the prince of darkness. He works with the power of darkness. You want to get victory in your life? Expose the devil. Shine the light where the devil's trying to work. Folks, it's for all of us. The day spring from on high that has risen to shine in our lives. Yes, to give us understanding of salvation. But do you know He wants to shine brightly in my life and in my heart? He wants to dispel the shadows of confusion and of doubt. And of deception, those places where the enemy would try to lurk under the shadows of darkness, under some recesses of my heart that he wants to try to hide and work. You know, the day spring from on high wants to visit us. Once in his light is where we'll see light. As we draw closer to the Lord, and I want to encourage us on points and areas where I may not have a real clear understanding of a doctrine, of a scripture, of what the saints teach. You know, there's an answer. There's a day spring from on high. Draw close to the Lord. Allow the Lord, in thy light we see light. As I draw closer and closer to the Lord, as I look unto Him, His light will illuminate my heart. It's His light that'll give me light and understanding. But you begin to turn back on that. You begin to turn away from that source of light and understanding in your life. The result of that will be darkness. It'll be shadows. You remember what Jesus said? Walk while ye have the light. Lest what? Lest darkness come upon you. Walk while you have the opportunity, while you have the light that's shining upon your pathway. Embrace it. Accept it. Not everybody embraces the light, do they? Not everybody has a love for the light or the truth. The Word of God, the Scripture in Proverbs says that thy Word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. Or I maybe got that flipped, but it illuminates my path. It gives light unto me through His Word. He said, I am the Word, and I've come to give light. This is the light which lighteth every man that comes into the world to give us light and understanding to those of us that walked in darkness. But He said, you have a responsibility. You know, to those of us that have had light shown unto us, we are responsible people of what we do with that light. Walk while you have the light. Walk in the light. Let's turn at this point before we go any further. Ephesians 5 talks about how we are to walk. Ephesians 5 and 8 says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You're not in darkness anymore. Let's turn and look also at 1 Thessalonians. Go along with that. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. Fourth verse says, but ye brethren are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. We're not of the night. We're not as those that are of the night, and those that Scripture says that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of those that believe not, of those that don't receive it, of those that don't have a love of the truth. He's blinded their minds. They're able to look on the same Scriptures that we look on. They're able to see the same Jesus that and read of Him that we read of, and yet they still walk in darkness. How is it? Because my eyes are blinded. I can look in the same direction that you look, but if my eyes are blinded, if my eye be not single, then the whole body is full of darkness. If I can't see, if I can't discern, if I don't have understanding, then everything that I look at is darkness. There may be something there, but if there's darkness, there may be a pit before me, but if there's darkness, I don't see it. I don't have an understanding of it. I'm not able to react unto it. Don't walk as children of the night. Children of the night who revel in the darkness. He said, to continue that scripture, he's blinded their minds, lest the glorious light of the gospel should shine unto them, that they not be able to receive that light and understanding in their life. He's blinded their minds and their eyes. So may we, as the people of God today, walk as children of light. Walk in the light. And the understanding that the Lord gives upon my pathway and in my mind, there are those that Jesus said would love darkness. They're the children of darkness. They serve the prince of darkness. They love the darkness because their deeds are evil. Because there's something that I don't want to bring out into the light. I don't want to expose it. There's something that I want to hold on to. May we not be as the children of darkness, but that I'd have an open heart unto the Lord, a love for the truth, a love for what the Lord wants to illuminate and give me understanding of, that I not hide from it, that I not be afraid of it, but that I'd have a heart that endeavors to see and understand. But because their deeds are evil, they hide from it. The warning to those that have no love for the truth is that a strong delusion will come upon them. As Jesus said, walk while you have the light, because if you don't, all that's left is darkness. We read Jesus, is, when he speaks about those that were cast out, those that were judged, an unfaithful servant, and so forth, he said, let them be cast into outer darkness. Outer darkness is where there's a complete absence of light. Where there is no light that makes it that far, that shines, that illuminates, it's complete darkness. You know what's what hell is? Hell is outer darkness. Where the light of God's presence cannot reach. Where it cannot illuminate anymore. Surrounded by. Whenever the plague of darkness was upon the land of Egypt, it said it was a darkness that God sent, that God allowed because of the wickedness of the people. He sent a darkness over the land. And it was a darkness, it said, that could be felt. Outer darkness. Beyond the reach and the touch of God's presence and of His light. But it also said the Israelites had light. The Lord wants us in the midst of a dark land, a dark generation, to walk in light, to walk in understanding, that we don't serve God in ignorance. We don't serve God in the blindness of the heart. There are so many people today that are endeavoring to serve God in a law mentality. And they still have the veil over their hearts. Because in the presence of God, we get glimpses of it on the Mount of Transfiguration. Whenever the glory of God, maybe we can say it this way, the masking of the human flesh that masked the very glory of God, whenever it was lifted and they saw Him shining as the sun, that's who God is. That's what His presence is. By contrast of what hell is, we read in Revelation of that city. That city that's been prepared for us. That it has no need of the sun. Because the true light is there. That true day spring from on high is there. And in the presence of God, there is no darkness. There is no shadow in the presence of God. But the children of Israel were carnal. They were yet in their sins. So they could not steadfastly behold the glory of God. They couldn't clearly see the light. There was still a veil that was over their minds. And 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says, upon the hearts of many this veil is still untaken away. In the reading of the law. What is a law mentality then? It says that I cannot rise above sin. It says that I cannot help but to be carnal in the presence of God. I cannot help but to come and worship Him in a fleshly and a carnal way. It says that the only way I can worship God is to come with carnal workings of men's hands, by instruments, by entertainment, by fleshly means, to come and worship the Lord. That's how we have to worship Him. It says that perhaps I believe that the Sabbath is on a Saturday and that's when my rest is. No, there's something better for us today. The light, the day spring from on high has arisen. Those that followed God in the Old Testament, they had light. You know what? They had some light. They were looking forward unto the promise. They had the promises and they were looking forward. Read about in the 11th chapter of Hebrews that they were eagerly looking for that promise. They didn't receive it, but we have. The moon gives light by night. But do you know what the light of the moon is? It's the reflection of the sun. And so we see a picture in Revelation also of the vision of a woman who was clothed in the sun, And if you'll get a picture in your mind's eye of a woman that was clothed in white, resplendent, that was bright, that was shining forth with the glory of the sun, a picture of the church of God, a picture of that early morning time. That's what we call that period of history, is the early morning. Why is it the early morning? The day spring, the dawn has come and has arisen now. We don't live under the darkness of night, but now the day spring has risen up and we have light. We're clothed in the brightness of the sun, S-O-N, the Son of God, who is, as we read, I believe Paul wrote in one place, the day star. What is the day star? The day star that has arisen in our hearts, it's the sun. But in that same vision it said, beneath the woman's feet was the moon. The moon was that that reflected the image or the light of the sun. It gave a glow from the sun, but they weren't able to look upon the sun. They weren't able to steadfastly behold that light, but instead they walked in the light of the moon, if you will, or in the light that they received under the old law, the reflection that it gave and the light that it cast upon their pathway. But I'm thankful that something better has arisen. We have the day spring from on high that we can follow and that we can look to. That we don't have to have a veil over our hearts. So we don't have to walk in carnality and in sin. But the Lord wants to illuminate every one of us. Those places where the enemy would try to encroach. Darkness doesn't always come immediately. Lest darkness come upon you is a warning to me. Darkness can come little by little. Those shadows can lengthen more and more in my heart, in my understanding. If I don't follow the Lord, if I don't follow close to Him, if I don't have a love for the truth, Lord, show me me. Lord, help me to see myself. Lord, there's a place here that I don't understand real well. I'm looking to the day spring. Lord, would you arise in this area? Lord, would you shine forth in a little bit brighter way here? I'm thankful this morning that we are not the children of darkness, but the Lord has come to give us light, to give us understanding, that we don't have to stumble by things that are hidden in our pathway that I don't see, that I don't understand. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. I'm thankful this morning for that day spring, for that day star that still shines today, is still shining forth in the darkness. There are multitudes, multitudes today that yet don't see it. They read the same scriptures. Some may come to the same services, and yet they're still in darkness. That darkness still pervades and covers their heart and their understanding. What a frightening thing to be in a place that I'm not where I need to be and I can't even see it. Deception. Darkness that has finally closed in over us. May the Lord help each one of us to walk as the children of light in the light of that day spring from on high. You pray for me. Amen.